Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3 this morning. Revelation, chapter number 3 will be our subject this morning. This is a subject that has been on my heart for the last couple of weeks. The message I'm going to be dealing with today is the death of a church. And this is an area that we really need to be concerned in because there are a lot of dead churches that are out there, but I'm also thankful for the churches that are alive and that are vibrant and going well for God. I don't know of this man. I do know of the story when it comes to church. He was talking, bringing a message up for his congregation about his church being dead. And he went before everybody that was in there, gave the gospel, told them that later on that evening for everybody to come back that was in there because he was going to be holding a funeral service for the church. And everybody kind of scratched their heads and was wondering what was going on. Why would the pastor say the church is dying and want us to come back that Sunday evening to see the funeral services for the church? And so they were a little bit bewildered in this area. And that evening came around. They came back to the services and they began to hear the pastor speak on the message, the funeral message for the church. And at the end of the message, he says, now, before he got up there, when everybody came in, they saw a casket that was closed. And they had no idea what was going on. They thought this was strange. Man, why would our pastor, he's really going through with this. This guy's cuckoo. He's lost it. He's gone crazy. And so as he's preaching a service, and the casket's laying up there. And then he said, now, you're wondering why I'm preaching on this funeral. And you're wondering why I say this church is a dead church. And here I'm going to show you the person that is responsible for this. He opened up the casket, and as they came around, little did they know that the pastor had put a mirror in the casket. So as they begin to line forth and come forth to see the casket and see who that person was and why the church was dead, they saw their reflection. I tell you what, that's an eye-opener. And folks, we really need to see our reflection sometimes. Am I the cause of a dead church? And I'm thankful this morning that I've been able to preach in this church that I believe is alive. Now we got to be careful because we can become a dead church and it's very easy, it can happen. And we need to be cautious of those things. First of all, we don't need to put our eyes on man. That's a bad result. We need to keep our eyes on God. We need not to shut out God's Word. We need to open God's Word. As I said in Sunday school, we need to have a relationship with God. And if we lack in those areas, you can be assured that death will come upon a church. And we need to be careful in those things. And so we read this morning in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, and I will try not to keep you. I got to move this clock. I don't like clocks because then I try to rush through things. Give you a little bit of a note. I heard a little, not complaints, but a little here and there on Wednesday night. I got out a little bit late, and the kids didn't get to have a chance of their game time. I don't apologize. God laid some things on my heart, but I will tell you this. I must confess this to you. Before I got up and preached that evening, I had some prayer time at home with God, and I said, God, please help me to speak slowly, which is why we went a little bit longer than we normally did. God answered my prayer, amen? But I did not ask for that this morning. God's people said amen on that one. But anyway, I'm not a person on time. I just don't like to be constrained because when I look at a clock, I feel like I got to rush. But let's read these verses here, chapter number 3, and I will get my specs on so I can see these words from up here, and we'll read down to verse number 6. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Before I begin even going further into our message this morning, I will say this. Hear the words of God this morning. Don't turn a deaf ear. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, I know that none of us in here this morning are perfect. I also realize, Lord, you see us as saints, but Lord, we're not perfect. And so, Lord, I know that we struggle. We give in to our temptations. We don't live according to how you want us to live. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, as I gave this illustration this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would begin to reflect on ourselves. Help us to examine our hearts. Help us to examine our lives to see what we need to see so that we can be better servants for you. Lord, we thank you for what you have done already this morning. We thank you for the safety that you give in our pastor. We pray that you bring him back to us safely this morning. And Lord, I can't praise you enough. I'm up here today not having a heavy burden on my heart because I know you're with me. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I praise you, and we love you in your name. Amen. Now, we had just read this letter here to the church of Sardis. And this letter here is not a very commendable letter. You guys still like getting letters in the mail? I still enjoy those things. Matter of fact, we actually got an invitation the other day from somebody who's graduating high school, and I'm almost tempted to go because where this reception is at, and this is the place where they live, it is in Hawaii. And I'm almost going to take them up on that to see them graduate high school and partake in those things. But that's not going to happen, but that's okay. But I enjoy getting letters in the mail. A few weeks ago, my license expired. And I didn't realize it was coming upon me that quick. Well, who likes to go to the DMV and get their license renewed? Not too many of us, because it's not a very pleasant experience. It's like going to a doctor's visit. You wait and wait and wait. But I had to go there a few weeks ago, and they've done something different. They take your picture, then they give you a copy of what you just did, your photo ID. They give you a copy of that. Matter of fact, it doesn't look good. They don't let you smile anymore. And I always look older than what I really am on those photos. And I look heavier than what I am in those photos, too. They make me do some weird things. But they said, within a couple weeks, you're going to receive your new license in the mail. I was like, yes, I can't wait. I'm looking for my license to get to delivered to me. And lo and behold, I believe it was a Monday or Tuesday afternoon of this week, I was anxiously waiting it, and I finally got my letter in the mail, and it had my license in there. And so I was excited about those things because it was good news. I dated my wife for how many months did we date? We're still dating, aren't we? 23 years of dating. We're married. But I dated her for quite a while, and she used to write me letters. And I looked forward to those letters. I didn't write to her as much because my penmanship is just not the greatest. But I always looked forward to her letters because those letters had a nice smell to them. And I don't know if it was her perfume, but I just imagine it was her perfume. And she always at the end of it told me she loved me. And I was like, oh, my heart just melted. And I love getting those letters. Those are things to look forward to. But there are some occasions where we get letters in the mail that isn't nice to look forward to. Like you're 4 months past due on your mortgage and your house is going into foreclosure. That's not a very good thing to look forward to. You have some discouraging mail that comes our way. And I hope that's not you this morning. But those are things that come our way. So now Jesus here is writing this fifth letter, and he's addressing this fifth letter to the church of Sardis. He doesn't come out as he did in previous letters, say, you've done a few things, you've done some good here and there. He doesn't come out that way. He starts it out totally different. And he says, "And the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works." Goes back to what we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning. God knows our hearts. He knows our motives. And then he follows up with this, "that thou hast a name that thou livest." They had a reputation, so to say. They had a reputation of being spiritual, being spiritual in the eyes of man, but God knows the heart, he knows the work of man, and what does he end up with this first sentence here? It says, and art dead. It has become a dead church. Now, a few years ago, I've always loved motorcycles. I had one for a few years, and I got rid of it when we had our daughter. I didn't feel very comfortable on it. Matter of fact, I about tipped it over a few times, and that didn't scare me so much. What scared me was the drivers that wanted to tip me over, and drivers in cars don't really pay attention to motorcycles, and so I got rid of that, and a couple years later, I got the urge to go out and get a bike again, and I love riding motorcycles. Jeff has one, and your pastor has one, and I talked to him a few weeks ago. Hey, do you have the strength yet to get on your bike? And he goes, your mother's not going to be so thrilled about that. But I said, you don't have to tell Mom what we're going to do. But anyway, I have a bike, and it's been in storage for this whole winter. You don't really have the chance to ride it in the wintertime. Our younger brother has that privilege because he lives in a warmer climate. And he calls me up occasionally. He says, hey, I just got done riding my bike, and it's January 2nd. And I say, you jerk. And he likes to rub it in. But I'm getting ready for this riding season, and I've done some things to it. So I went out there, and occasionally I like to go out there and start my bike. And I like to let the gas run through this. And God was teaching me a very important lesson through this. And so as I went out there, I started my bike. It ran for a few moments, then it died. And I'm thinking to myself, great, what's going on here? I don't want to start my season off like this. So I started back up again. It ran for a few seconds, and then it died. I was like, okay, I know what the problem is. So I began to examine my bike, and I was like, okay, I figured out the problem. I know what I'm going to do. See, this is what the Church of Sardis needed to do. Jesus pointed out a problem to them, and they needed to figure out what needed to be done so they weren't considered a dead church anymore. They needed to consider how to make themselves lively again. So as I began to go through my bike, I decided, okay, the battery's not keeping charge. The battery's about 3-4 years of age. And so I thought to myself, I need to go out and get a new battery for this thing. And so that's what I did. I went out there, and I put a battery in there, and had all kinds of fun taking that thing apart. And put everything back together, and man, it had some juice in that thing. It was just going, trying to start, and it wouldn't start. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? I just replaced something, and I know it should work because I invested some money into it, and I went off by the sound of it, and here's a new battery, and it's not working. I was thinking to myself, okay, I know what this other problem is. So I'm already $73 in the hole. You guys feel sorry for me yet? No. So I'm already $73. I'm $73 in a hole with this, and it's just a little battery about that big. It's not that big. And so I put that in there, and like, man, what's going on with this thing? And so I begin to examine even more. And so I thought to myself, you know what? I think I know what the problem is, because this happened to me last year when I drove my bike to work. I worked a late shift, and I started my bike, and it ran, and I started taking off, and it died on me, and I had to push my bike 3 blocks home. To end that story, I couldn't push it any longer. I got down here at the corner of 26. I called my wife. I said, bring a rope. She brought a rope in her Chevy Impala, tied it to her bumper, tied it to the forks of my bike, and she pulled me home. That was funny. And I knew what the problem was. So I addressed the same problem that I did last year, and I put new spark plugs in there. Sometimes the church is looking for a spark. Seriously. They're looking for a spark to get them motivated, to get them started up once again. And so I put the spark plugs in there, and had them already adjusted. I put them back in there, spent some time, put the plugs back in there. Went back to my bike, put everything back together, started it once again, trying to start, and it's doing the same thing. I was like, what in the world is going on with this stupid bike? I enjoy riding you. Now I'm not going to enjoy riding you. I'd rather see you go down the road. That's what I'm thinking to myself. And I'm thinking, I hope Dad will let me have his bike. And that runs. So I begin to... I was mad. I got frustrated, and I walked away from it, went to the house, and I sat there for a couple hours, and all of a sudden it dawned upon me. Why my bike... Who knows my notes? Why my bike wasn't starting? So I went out there. I had a pre-senior moment. So I went out there and was like, you know what, I'm just going to check the gas. I had gas in there, but as you sit your bike, it leans. And so the gas, I was thinking to myself, well, maybe it doesn't have enough gas in there. So I poured gas in there, put everything back together, turned the key, pushed the knob. Guess what happened, folks? Started right up. And I said, thank you, God. You know, that's a silly illustration. But you know what was happening during that whole entire time? I kept overlooking the obvious. I kept missing the main ingredient. And this is what was happening to the church of Sardis. They were missing the main ingredient, and that was Jesus Christ. Mine was a simple fix. I just needed gas. But they needed Jesus Christ. And for some reason, they had a spiritual look to them, but they didn't have Christ, and it became dead. This is a letter that can't be returned to the sender. This is something that has come to them directly, something that they were in direct violation of at this point in time. And the one who called them out on this was Jesus. And he was showing them where they have gone wrong. These are the very words of Jesus. If you have the same Bible that I have, the KJV, you'll look in your Bible and it's in red letters. Red letters represents Jesus talking at this point in time. So this is a letter that Jesus, it came from the very mouth of him. And it's not a very complimenting letter. It's a very condemning letter when you think of these things. It is a letter that doesn't beat around the bush, calling the church for what it actually is. And sometimes, folks, we don't need to beat around the bush. We need to be told exactly what is wrong with us. No different than when we go to the doctor. They try to give us many different ways. Well, you're probably feeling this way because of what you're taking here. You might feel this way because of this medication. And I don't want you to say, doctor, stop beating around the bush and just give me what I need to hear so that I can fix this problem and move on. And Jesus wasn't beating around the bush was here. He was telling the church their exact problem. This particular church letter is the fifth letter that was received. And in it, it says that thou art dead. Not very encouraging words to hear. No different than the silly illustration that I had shared with you earlier. It wasn't very encouraging for me to have a bike that wasn't starting. But God used that illustration to teach me something. Look for the main ingredient. Stop overlooking the obvious. Take time. Look around. Examine your heart. And if I'm missing, bring me back. God doesn't leave us. We leave him. And at this particular time, we know that the history of the church, of this particular church in Sardis. Sardis was a well-defended city. It was a very wealthy city. So because of their wealth, they were able to have the military capacity that they needed at this time to ward off their enemies that wanted to attack them. And so because of this, they had everything that was up to date when it came to the armory that they needed. And so another country would not want to attack them. But even despite that, despite their best defense, despite their wealth, this church was a church that did not have Christ. This church, however, had become a spiritually lifeless church. I will say this, and I'm going to have you turn your scripture to the book of Matthew chapter 13 before I give this next statement. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter number 13. And we will read what is said here. In verses number 24, I hope I wrote the right verse down. Yes, that's where I'm at. Let's read verse number 24 down to verse number 29. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blades was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so we see here that the church had become spiritually lifeless at this point in time, could be due to the fact that many in the church were unsaved. Were unsaved. I said this morning in Sunday school. Just because we sit in our chairs Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, does not mean that we are looking at all saved individuals. That's not the case. There are people that are probably within these four walls that have yet to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I tell you what, I hope if that is you this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit will convict your heart to no end this morning. And the only thing that you can do is turn to Him and ask Him to save your soul from hell to heaven. And if that's the case, we will rejoice with you. So we see at this time that the church had many lifeless people due to the fact that there are some unsaved people. And as I said earlier, it was just them coming into the doors. It was just a religion to them. But with verse number chapter 13 of Matthew, there will come a day when the tares will be separated from the wheat. The question that I will pose to you, that I will ask you, that you got to answer yourself because I can't answer that for you, are you a tare or are you a wheat? Only you know that answer. And so we see here that the church has become dead. Folks, I don't want Open Door Baptist Church of Council Bluffs, Iowa, that was started 40-some years ago, to become a church that is no longer serving Christ, that has become a church that would rather have all the instruments and the string bands in here and all the entertainment in the world to gather the flock to come in, and all they're searching for is entertainment. I want a church that is alive, that is vibrant for God because they love God and they want to see souls saved and go to heaven with them. I tell you what, if we're going to try and gather these folks in because of all these attractions that are in our society today, we've already lost them. Church is not a place for entertainment. And I will say this, church is not a place for the unsaved. You might sit there and say, whoa, Chad, that sounds pretty harsh and pretty mean. No, a church is a body of Christ. A church is a group of believers who trust and put their faith in Him. Unbelievers don't have that privilege that you and I have. And so the question, are you a tare or are you a wheat this morning? In the verse number 2 of Revelation chapter 3, as we see that Christ calls them a dead church, we also see that Christ is calling them to repentance here. Verse number 2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for are not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. What Jesus is saying here, as he's calling them to a time of repentance, and I believe the time of repentance for men and for women in this world today is now, it's not later. You're not guaranteed later, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed today. If you wake up today, we ought to feel blessed and feel privileged that God has kept us on this green earth. And if we put things off, I'm going to say this, we have become very ignorant and very foolish people because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Jesus is saying here in these verses here, he knows the deeds of man. Again, I'm not sorry to rehash Sunday school, but he knows your heart. He knows your heart. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know your motives. I don't know why you're here. I don't know if you're here because you just don't want pastor to show up your house and visit you. I don't know if you're here this morning because you just want to be seen a man and be praised a man. I don't know those things. Only God knows those things. And I hope this morning that you're here for the right reasons to worship and to grow in Christ this morning. Amen. Jesus knows the deeds of man. He knows your very heart. We might be able to fool those around us. As I said again in Sunday school, we are not able to fool God. We cannot fool God. We can sit there and disguise ourselves and put up walls between everybody else and give them a different picture that they might perceive from us. But God knows our hearts. He knows our deeds. He knows our wickedness. And this is where the church has gone wrong. He warns the church here in verse number 3 to be watchful. And if they are not watchful, he will come as a thief. Has anybody ever been robbed? Has anybody ever been robbed? I have. When Chris and I first got married, it was back in 1995 I think it was March of that year. I was trying to go to work, and I say trying because something happened. We lived in apartments out there by Kmart, and walked out to the laundry room, which was separate from our apartment. We shared a laundry room with everybody else. And I looked down into the parking lot and looked where my car is at, and it wasn't there. And I thought to myself, that's weird, what's going on here? And then I opened up my eyes again. I was like, oh, someone stole my car. You know, I felt violated. They came in out of nowhere and took my possessions. They robbed me. I was grateful because I went to work. I got a ride somehow, and I went to work. And as I was working, I was driving through town. I actually found my car in another apartment complex. And so I got lucky, and I was pretty fortunate there. But I tell you what, it's not a great feeling when somebody robs you. It's not a great feeling when somebody comes into your house during the daytime and steals your possessions. Probably about 10 years ago, my neighbor, she was 90 at that time. She's no longer with us. She's gone. She's 90 years of age, and some guys came in and said that they are UPS guys. One stayed outside, one went inside, one talked to her, and the other one went inside, and she was robbed. I tell you what, it's not a good feeling. We're violated. Can I say this? This has nothing to do with my notes. Do you know what? We rob God. We do. We rob God. What do you mean? Well, Sunday nights, prayer time, Wednesday nights, we rob God of our time. How do you think he feels? Maybe this is where the Church of Sardis went wrong. Maybe they were having this outward appearance where everybody thought they were great believers, but they were neglecting the duties of God. First of all, they weren't being watchful. The Bible tells us on many different occasions to be watchful and to pray. And he will come as a thief. The church isn't for the saved, unsaved, I'm sorry. It's for the saved. As I said earlier, the church is a body of believers. And I will say this, a church isn't a business. It's a living organism. It is you and it is me. And I tell you what, that's a great privilege to have. But I don't want to fall into the category where Jesus sends us a letter and says, Open Door Baptist Church of Council Bluffs, Iowa, 2018, you are a dead church. That's not a good column to fall under. But as we go on, we begin to see some things take place here, because not everybody is dead. Verse number 4, it says, Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. There are just a few that remain faithful to God. The good news from this, even in this dead church, there have been some who have stood by God's side, who have been constant, who have been faithful in serving God to the fullest of their ability. Regardless of what was happening around them, with the other so-called believers having an outward appearance, not having an inward appearance, they stayed faithful to God. And because of their faithfulness, Jesus commends them for not defiling their garments. Not defiling their garments. I tell you what, God is going to reward these folks in a very special way. They have stayed pure. They have stayed true to God despite what others were doing. Again, I cannot get over how this kind of ties in with Jeremiah. How he has stayed true and how he stayed pure to God, worshiping him when others would not do so. And because of this, God will reward them. Meaning their faith, it wasn't just an outward thing. It was an inward thing. It was a true change. A true change had taken place in their life. And Jesus rewards them for their faithfulness. Do you guys like being rewarded for things? You know, think about this. When you're a child, you grew up, and you behaved to the point where mom and dad, you know, you've asked for something, and they give you some stipulations. They sit there and say, well, if you do this and do that and do this, I will reward you with those things. And on a few occasions, I don't say on many occasions, I say a few occasions, I followed through with those things, and I was rewarded for my faithfulness to those things. And this is no different. Jesus rewards them for their faithfulness to them, and their reward is something very special that you and I ought to be seeking in our life. And their reward is he gives them white garments that are spotless. And with this reward, the faithful ones will walk with Jesus in garments of white. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 22. Book of Matthew chapter 22. And as I read verses 11 through 12, it says, And when the king came into the see the guests, where am I at? 22. Yes. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to them, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. There are certain occasions in the Bible where you are rewarded with a garment of white. And this was one of them. And the faithful ones at this point in time have been awarded with a robe of whiteness to walk around with. I tell you what, that is pretty amazing. And I'm thankful for the ones that have rejected going the opposite way and remain faithful to God at this point in time. And now as we move on, we see here in verse number 5, there are some overcomers. He calls these few that he mentions in verse number 4, and now he mentions them, the ones who have overcome. Verse 5, he says, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, the interesting thing here in verse number 5, he tells the ones who have overcome that he will not blot out their names in the book of life. Now, a lot of people at this point in time, I sit there and say, ha-ha, I told you can lose your salvation. No, you cannot. You either have salvation or you don't have salvation. It's one or the other. And God does not take his gift back that he has given to us. That is a gift. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. And this isn't saying that they'll lose their salvation. What he is telling them, he's assuring them that they are sealed at this point in time. But I will say this. Why this is brought up at this point in time is because during this time, there was a common thing that was practiced back in those days. When somebody was born into that particular city, or when they joined citizenship of that city, their name was written down. You can call it a census if you put those words in there. So they were taken down, their date of birth, and when they entered into the city, because they want to know how many people they had, and so forth. And so upon death or moving away, their names were taken out of their census. They were no longer a part of that community. And God's saying here, I'm not going to blot you out of my book. As a matter of fact, I'm going to confess you before my Father. So upon death, they would be removed, or moving away, they would be removed to them. What Jesus is saying here in this verse here, verse number 5, he is saying to them, I will be keeping you forever. Again, a promise from God. And God has not gone back on his promises. You and I, we make promises. We promise people this, that, and the other thing, and we revoke our promises. But God has yet to break a promise to us. And he says, I will keep you. I will confess you before my Father. What are you saying here? He's saying, Father, these are my children. These are your children, and I'm not going to forget them. I'm not going to leave them behind. He's confessing them to be his children forever. We need not to be a dead church, but we need to be a church striving to live for the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Again, it's a question only you can answer. Only you can ask yourself honestly. And I beg you to be honest with yourself. Are you dead inside? Are you dead inside? Why do you ask that question? Because I don't know your heart. I don't know your motive. I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you listen to sermon after sermon. Do you realize something this morning? Our pastor's teachings have changed drastically. Have you guys noticed that? They are so much more deeper than they were a year ago. Of course, he wasn't preaching a year ago. He was in a hospital bed. But they're much more deeper. And you know what? I know this because I deal with this myself. As he gets more deeper in God's word and gives us more truth of God's word and reveals things to us that we haven't seen before, it hurts his heart. Knowing as he opens these altars to invitation for us to come forward, there's no response. There's no response. I'm going to say this. That's a start. That's a sign of a church no longer examining their hearts, no longer examining themselves, and falling into a category where it might someday become dead. You're saying, Brother Chad, that's pretty harsh. You're not beating around the bush. Do we see Jesus beat around a bush? No. He said it plain and clear. I know for a fact God speaks to our hearts every single time this book is open. And there's some that purposely ignore God's word. They know for a fact they're not saved, but they will not walk down this altar and confess their sins before God. There's people who are backslidden that will not ask for forgiveness from God. Folks, that is a sign of a church that is starting to die. And I don't want to become a dead church. I want to be vibrant. I want to be living for the Lord, striving to please Him, striving to live for Him, striving to give Him glory on an every single day basis of my life. And I will say this, any church of any size can have an outward appearance, say and do the right things when appropriate, but are spiritually dead inside. I can sit there and say and do the right things and not have Christ in my heart. I know that for a fact because for years I did those things as a child coming to this church, sitting amongst the preaching of my father, ignoring the message that was given Sunday after Sunday, walking out after services, going to get a drink and things of that nature, ignoring God's word and not allowing Him to speak to my heart. What was wrong with me? I was dead and I needed to be alive, and God woke me up. And I don't want to be dead anymore. When God speaks to us, we need to move. Stop fooling around. Stop playing games with God. Don't end up in that category of, I'm a church of Sardis. I look good outwardly. And people see the outwardly, but they don't see the inwardly. We live in some scary times. One day, the government might come to us. And they might tell us, you're no longer free to worship here. And if we're a dead church, guess what's going to happen? Those doors will be locked with chains and we'll allow it to happen. But if we're a live church, we'll rebuke that. And we'll say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Folks, today we need a spiritual awakening. We need to stop being dead if that's the case in your life. We need to stop walking around as if we're zombies in this world. This church here is called the Walking Dead Church. And I don't want to be considered that. And I hope that's not you. I hope that's not this church this morning. I hope that's not the direction that we're going into this morning. We don't need to be spiritually dead on the inside. And as we close with the sermon this morning, Jesus is not pleased with this church. He's told them what they are. He's told them what they need to do to get out of this situation. Now it's in their hands. And as he closes this letter, verse number 6, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I have hoped this morning that you have heard the words of God. I hope this morning, as God is probably knocking on your heart, that you would answer to Him. There's nothing for you and I to ever be ashamed of, walking out of our seats and bending our knees before God. Well, you sit there and say, Chad, I can't walk out of my seat. Then take care of it in your seat. I've been there. I've been in that situation. I sat up there in the old auditorium as we watched an old movie, Left Behind, years ago. And as God began to speak to my heart, I was ashamed. I did not want to walk forward, because I didn't want to bring disgrace or dishonor to my father. So I walked out of the service and I knelt down behind a tree that's behind Kimmy and Francis in that point in time, just right outside the parking lot. And I got on my hands and knees and asked God to save my soul. That was my spiritual awakening, April the 25th of 1986. I'll never forget that. What about you, believer? Are you dying inside? But let me ask you this. How about the unsaved? Are you tired of being spiritually dead and you want to be alive in today?